The reason that I got involved in Kashrus a number of years ago is because I found myself in Eretz Yisrael. We were makbid only to eat from certain hashgachas. I had mishpacha who ate other hashgachas. And we'd come to their house and say, do you mind, please, you know, only buying meat from these hashgachas? That's what we're makbid on. They said, not a problem. A good family, not a problem. You should know it's all politics. The chilik between the Mahadrin Hashgachas, the not Mahadrin Rabbanut, it's all politics. I said, no, it's not. The truth is, I didn't know what I was talking about, and they didn't know what they were talking about. The challenge in Kashrus is, unlike other areas of Halacha, where, you know, every week is a Shabbos, and you have a Shaila, you ask the Rav a Shaila, you can get an understanding of that Tchum of Halacha. When it comes to Kashrus, I don't mean in the kitchen, I mean certification of third parties, of restaurants, of factories, it's really a closed field. And one of the reasons I got involved in Kashrus was I wanted to have an informed, educated opinion about what everyone feels so strongly about. And the only way really to do that is to get involved firsthand. So what I'd like to discuss today is three things. Number one, the basis, how Hashgacha works. How does it work? We're going into a factory four times a year. You have 3 months in between the visits, on the average. So how can we know it's kosher? It's the middle of nowhere. It could be in China. It could be in the somewhere in the Midwest. It could be in South America. How do we know that it's in fact kosher if no one is there for long periods of time? So I want to go through the Makoiris. That's what I handed out now. Is based on Igris Moshe and some Gemaras in the Avodah Zarah. I didn't hand out my second handout because I was afraid if I did, no one would pay attention to the shir and just look at that second handout. The second handout is a machloikis between Rav Belsky and Rav Schechter from the OU about how Hashgacha works. It's based on the Makaris we're going to bring, these two concepts we're going to see. There's a back and forth. Rav Schechter, then Rav Belsky, then Rav Schechter. I have a printout of the OU's tshuva over here, which I'll hand out when we get to that point. And then, time permitting, I want to discuss the KM policy on allowing owners to be mashgichim in certain limited cases, which was 100% alpi din, mutter blish shum pitbook. Makom lahachmi there is, but there's no question about it, alpi din, me'ikar adin, it's 100% kosher. In the instances that we allow it, blish shum pitbook, if there's time for that. If there's not time for that, to come back again. Okay, so let's start with number one, which is the Gemara in Ksubis. Very interesting Gemara in Ksubis. There was a woman, the woman was mechayev shvua, she had to make a shvua in Bezdin. Amrlei bas Rav Chista, Rav Chista's daughter, who was whose wife? Rav's wife was Rav Chista's daughter. Amrlei, so Rav Chista's daughter was there. She was in the Bezdin, it sounds like. Amrlei bas Rav Chista, yadana bo techashuda ashvua. I know this woman who's about to make the shvua, and I know she's chashed on the shvua, she's going to swear falsely. Now, Bas Rav Chisda has no authority really to say that, for Bezdin to accept that. Number one, she's a woman. It's not good Eidus. Number two, she's only one person. There's no Eidus over here. But she tells her husband that, this woman is Chashuda Ashvusa. Don't accept her Shvur. That's what she says. What did Rava do? Avcha Rava L'Shvur Asha Kenegda. Rava then took the Shvur off her. She should have been making the Shvur, this woman. And he put it on the other Baldin. Which Lachar you can't do unless you have two aidim that says she's Chashud HaShvusa. This is one woman, it was his wife. He wasn't doing it for Shalom Bayis reasons, listening to his wife. So why did he do it? Gemara doesn't say. Gemara just says he did it. Zimnin havu yasvik kamei Rav Papa Rav Adar Bar Masna. So another time, in front of Rava, sitting in the Bezdin, where Rav Papa and Rav Adar Bar Masna, two other Amoraim. Aisua hu shtar, gabei, a shtar was, Mava brings in a shtar, says, Pliny owes me $1,000. And he has the shtar to prove it. I'm a later of Papa, Yadana Bey the shtar priyahu. But Papa says, I know for a fact, I was there, I saw the loyvid pay back the malva, and he either forgot to collect the shtar, or he left it lying around. Malva picked it up. I'm telling you, this malva is lying. I saw the loyvid pay back the halva. The malva is holding the shtar, but it's not right. It's incorrect. I'm a lay, so Rava asked of Papa, do you have any other witnesses that can testify to this, that it's paid? Amrlei loy. I don't have it. Amalei afal gav de ikamar. Even though we have you, Rav Papa, saying that it's the shtar was paid up. Eid echad lav klumhu. I'm sorry, it's a pashat halacha in Shulchan Aruch that eid echad is lav klum. One witness cannot go against the shtar in the yad of the malva. So therefore, we can't listen to what you have to say, Rav Papa. So Rav Ada Bar Masna is sitting on the sidelines, and he says, "Amalei Rav Ada Bar Masna, v'lo yei Rav Papa kebas Rav Chista." But Rav Papa can't be at least like your wife, Rav Chista's daughter. When your wife comes in and says that she's chashud ashvusa, you're mapich the shvu as if she's two eidim. And now Rav Papa, the amoyer Rav Papa, comes in and says, "I'm telling you, Rav, I know that the shtar was paid back, but you don't trust Rav Papa as much as you trust your wife." That's Rav Ada Bar Masna asked Rava. So Rava answers, "Bas Rav Chista Kimli Bigava. I know my wife, Kimli Bigava. I know her. Mar lo Kimli Bigave. Rav Papa, I don't know well enough. I know my wife well enough, L'chayra Pashab Shat, that she's for sure not lying. I know she's not lying. Rav Papa, I don't know if he's lying." Now, did Rava have it sad that Rav Papa was lying? Rav Papa, an Amoira. This had no, wasn't his cousin, wasn't his brother, was a Stamayid. Why would Rav Papa is lying? So Rava is choyshed, it sounds like, that Rav Papa is lying. How do you make sense of this Gemara? So Rav Moshe Feinstein is very bothered by this Gemara, in number two, or the next thing, Hemshech number one, actually. Rav Moshe has a famous tshuva about parents. This is a common shaila. Parents who are from living in Russia, in communist Russia, and the children were totally fried. Mechalei Shabbos, Oichel Nevelas V'Treifus, and the parents were elderly. They needed to stay at their children's houses. That's where they had to live. And their children were making food for them. So you have issues. It's interesting. He's not concerned about Bishul Akum. Rav Moshe is not concerned about Bishul Akum with the fry kids. It's a Pischei Tshuva in the beginning of Kufi Beis. Kufi Gimel discusses whether a not-from-Jew makes Bishul Yisrael or not. KM policy is, it's Bishul Akum. We mark it on a from yid to light the fires. So the shaila was, these parents, the Shasat Chak, can they stay in their kid's house? Can their daughter, can their daughter-in-law make the food for them? There's a shaila of Treifus and Avelis, of other Yisurim. Says Rav Moshe, B'yosi b'maskva, b'shnas tofresh tzadik dal, 1934, Nishalti b'davar sha'avos nizoynim b'medina azois, b'avonaseinu harabin al shulchan b'neim. The parents are living with their children, b'neim uvnaseim, v'ha'oichum nevelis. Nebuch, they're eating nevelis, not kosher food. V'chol dvar iser, v'rubim him koifrim b'ashem v'tarase. Not only are they not from the mumarim l'te'oven, kosher is more expensive, hard to get, they're actually mumarim l'hachis. The koifin Hashem in his Torah, v'shafki etayr v'ochli yisura. If you give him kosher meat and you give him non-kosher meat, taste the same, cost the same, they'll go for the non-kosher. The mamish lahachas. V'im kein ein nemonim. Oy bezoy, they're not nemon. Al yisurim. V'ein lahavu sachalushim az kenim eitza. Eich lecho basa shetrichon lebriusa. Says Rav Moshe, these parents have no eitza. How are they going to eat meat? They need it for their health. It's important to note in the tshuva, we're talking about an issue of a health issue. And even though stam klis ain't ben yom, mikol makom reihu kelechatchila kevin shakava moishava etzlam. If they're being kaved themselves by their children's house and they know they're going to be cooking with their non-kosher kelim, we can't rely on stam klis ain't ben yom. So what is the heter for these parents? And it seems like it was a common issue back in that day. Says Rav Moshe, v'chidashti sheyesh makom lahakel laharbe anoshim. I was mechadish that there's a place to be lenient for many of these people. If the father knows, the beat of a kalasa, his daughter, daughter-in-law, if he knows that his daughter, daughter-in-law, is not going to be machshlim in an iser, so Moshe's famous yediyah brura, he uses that in other tshuvas as well. He knows his makir tiva, her nature, yediyah brura, it's a clear understanding. Because he tested her many times. In other words, he's seen many times where she could have lied, and she didn't. So he knows her nature. He knows her teva. For he sees she does not want to be machshel him because either it's going to cause him pain. A person could be not from and still be ethical. They could be ethical. And you know, I don't feel this is right. If you are machshel this, then I'm going to give that to you, even though I hold it's narishkeit. there are certain people out there that are ethical. Says Moshe, the parents can rely on her. Kalim that she's using for him, she'll set aside kalim only for him. She'll say, I'm going to only cook your food in your kalim. I'm only going to buy kosher meat. Mishum shalei nichnas zeh zotav moishe the chiddush, the gedin ne'amonis. This is not called ne'amonis. This is not called, we're coming on to the parsha of ne'amonis. El b'idia atzmish shehu k'ri'ya mamish. Rather, it's a clear knowledge that's like a ri'ya mamish. This is mamish the same, the zelba veriter as this true one on Chol of Yisrael. I'm not comparing the Jews. I'm just saying the words are the same. He knows clearly, he has first-hand experience multiple times that she does not lie, when it comes to this at least, therefore you can rely on it. Rav Moshe quotes the whole Gemara there, 8 lines in the middle of that paragraph. There is no way we can say that in that Gemara, Rava did not trust Rav Papa as much as he trusted his wife. The hikshir of Adar Bar Masna, Rav Adar Bar Masna asked, lo yer Rav Papa kebasar Rav Chisda. Rav Adar Bar Masna asked, Rav Papa is the same, at least the same as Basar Rav Chisda. Chazinim we see from the Gemara, the loy gar Rav Papa kebasar Rav Chisda. That as far as trustworthiness, they were at least the same. The loy kin lo yer lemayla hakshos, otherwise there's no kasha. His kasha was, they had the same level of erlichkeit at least. And he didn't say back that otherwise. Rabbi didn't say back, no, the hanach of your question is wrong. He didn't say back that, no, my wife is much more of a tzaddikus. It means he agreed to the hanach, to the premise of Rav Adar Bar Masna's kasha. Rav Papa was more of a chassid than Basar Rav Chisda. V'shagam Rava yodaze, Rava knew that, v'lachin hiksha shapir. Im kein tsarich lehavin, tam rava, my time ago Rav Papa mi Basar Rav Chisda. So what's pshat? Why is Rav Papa worse off in this case than the Basar Rav Chisda? The right column in the box. The tsarich lehavin, we have to say, dimitzah ne'monis, hainu she'ena yadeh v'yidir atzmus. What is ne'monis? When we say ne'monis, you need two aidim. What are we talking about? She'ena yadeh v'yidir atzmus, he doesn't have first-hand knowledge. She'ena mishaker. There's not a first-hand knowledge that one does not lie. Rak machma shu tzaddik v'chassid. The person's a tzaddik, he's a chassid, he has a cheskas kashrus. Yoyidin shloim mishaker, v'yesh la'aminoi. So, a person's a cheskas kashrus, the Torah says, he walks into Bezna, gives an edus, a testimony, so you can believe him. Einoi klum la'amino b'yechidi. But if one is coming with his cheskas kashrus to the Dayan and says, I'm telling you, Reuven owes Shimon money, the Torah says we can't believe him. Ha'toyra nosna gvul. If Moshe Rabbeinu would walk in and give an edus that Reuven owes Shimon money, does any one of us have any doubt in our minds whether it's true or not? Of course it's true. Still, they have no nemanis b'yichidi l'dinei mamin, but kol adam shem b'cheskas kashrus. V'loinosna torah l'shi'urim shkol echad yamin misha roitze. The Torah doesn't put into every dayan's hand, this person I believe, this person I don't believe. V'lachein kol koyach ha'nemanis nitna torah l'chol ish shestomahu b'cheskas kashrus. The Torah gives ne'monis to every yid who has a cheskas kashrus, but only the ne'monis of one aid. And to be moitzi mamin, you need two aidim. Aval zeurak midin ne'monis. Here comes Rav Moshe's chiddush. That's what we're in the parsha of ne'monis. So all I know about you is you have a cheskas kashrus. The Torah says I can believe you as one aid. Shilamakir ish v'tivoy. That's a person I don't know his nature. I'm not makir him personally. Midoysev v'etzim rak mitzad cheskasim. My knowledge of you is just mitzad chazaka. V'alim yodeu makir esa ish be'etzim mitzad tivoysev. If I have first hand knowledge of the nature of this person, umin hagav she niso harbe pomim, that I test this person many times. Anyone living in your house, you know you've tested them many, many times, and you see they could have cheated, they could have gotten away with it, and they didn't. For Rosh Einu Meshakras, he doesn't lie. Ein ze mitzad ne'monis elu kriya mamish. That's not ne'monis. That Rava saw his wife saying that she, this other woman, is not ne'monis. She's chashuda ashfusa. Wasn't that he knew his wife was a tzadekis, therefore he believed her. Rava knew clearly, many, many times, he had first-hand knowledge that his wife was extremely erlich and ethical, and she never lied. Even if she can get caught, he saw firsthand that she never lied. That's the Re'iyah Mamish, Kevim Shiyadiya Atzmah, Shiyadeyu Makira, Shiloh Mitzar Chazakas. So it's like Rava himself saw that this woman is Chashad Ashwaza. If I'm Makir a person's Teva firsthand, I've seen many times the person doesn't lie. Zakhtar of Moshe, the Gemara in Ksubis says, I don't need the Parsha of Namanis. I don't need two Aden. I don't need Jewish of Chakira. For Einish Bezdin, I'm thinking now, what about Einish Bezdin? To give Skila, Yenamuz Machal Shabbos. Chveisnish, that far. You have Yediyah Brura. Chveisnish. But when it comes to these being Moitzi Mamin and Isurin, so Rav Moshe seems to be saying, you don't need the Parsha of Namanis, you're Makir the Teva, the person. Many times they had the opportunity to lie, cheat, they didn't do it. You don't need Namanis, you can trust the Eid Echad, you can trust the woman. V'lachain, therefore.
Obviously, there's nothing to gain, right, from this situation. You take a whole big scheme over here, right? Shosh Namanis 50,000 times, then wait for the big heist.
Nothing to gain. Correct, correct. You say what you're saying that. In a case where
his wife or the children in Russia,
the children have to gain, and that their parents are not going to have food. Let's say the meat's more expensive on ISIS, they're spending money on it. You're asking on Rav Moshe's Tushtel. Now, the Gemara was one time off, but Basar of Chisda, he believed her. But he's saying that what did she have? What was the Chashash Meshach? But he's not coming to time that. He's saying that he knows her Teva, she would never lie. You're pointing out that Rav Moshe is taking it a step further. Rav Moshe is bringing it to a case where parents are living with the children day in, day out. Kosher meat's more expensive. Amal, they couldn't get it. There, the kids will have a Yetzihara to lie, more than the Basar of Chista, who's just coming in once, giving an Eidus. But in Rav Moshe's understanding is that once you believe in it to be Mapech the Shvua, it's not Midin Ne'monis. I know this person's not going to lie. So he's not Machalik between those two situations. I just want to get to them. I want to get to all the things. Let's take questions at the end. Sorry. V'lachein zok Rav Moshe af shavad the other Rav Asher Papa Ishneman. He knew the Rav Papa was an Ishneman. Kevin shoot tzaddik v'chassid. Oy Yosef Basav Chizda more than Rav Chizda's daughter. About al kolponim who rak mitzad cheskos of nichas begadin emonis. Moshe goes on to say that we have these two parashas. We have emonis which applies to a case where I don't know the person firsthand. All the halachas of emonis where there are chashash mishaker. But if I know the person time in time out and they've never lied, even if they could have lied, I don't need emonis. I can rely based on that one person and be Moitzi Mamon. That's what Rav Moshe writes. Skip to the end, where Rav Moshe says the box on the left. Even though the Rambam say that we don't use Kimle Begavei, Zokr Moshe, that's only by Mamonis. Important words. Zokr Moshe B'shas Hadchak. Ula Noshim Chalushim. Right, two qualifications here. In a difficult situation, and for weak people, yesh lahakel, you can be lenient. Im yodei beberus shekim lebegavei mitzad tivoyisim in hagel beiz nisyon eshlotach shilu. They're not going to be machshel a person. Listen, mochalev lechol mimashem evashelis ba'adoi v'omer shenasis behechshu. She says it was done kosher by lacherim v'shelob b'shasat chag lebriyim yesh lahachmir. One should be machmir. Moshe is mashma meikar din. It's mutter. He's saying, but it's not a shasat chag. You should be machmir. This is kim lebegavei. L'chayra, this is no shaychus to kashrus, because who's kimli begavei on a restaurant owner or worker or factory? So l'chayra would be hard pressed to apply this to the world of kashrus today. But we'll see. Okay, that's concept one. Kimli begavei, right? If I'm makir the person, I no longer need nemas. Okay, next page. Concept number two, which is the more familiar concept, called mirtus. It's called fear. So there's two Gemaras, which Tosis asks a steer in. Number three, the first marker is Gemara Vodazar Daf Yud Beis. It's in the middle of a sugya. We're going to focus in just on what's relevant for our discussion. He never went to Tzurber. Have you ever been to Tzur and seen two ovens, two stove tops next to each other? The guy is being mavashel, nevelis, treifis, kamile da'aser. Right next to him is the yid on his stovetop, being mavashel kosher food. V'lechashim chachamim. And they weren't concerned. You can have a goy cooking treif here, a yid cooking kosher there. There's no concern. Everything's fine. My lechashulem chachamim. What would have the concern been? What's the chiddush? What would you have been concerned for? Am rabbi mishum basin nevela. Because nevela loy, I mean, we don't say dilma mahadir ape yisrael achayre. Even a mashgiach tmidi sometimes has to turn his back, turns around. When the yid turns around to get more salt, his back is facing the guy. V'shadi oivet kechab nevela b'kedera. And when he's not looking, the guy is going to throw nevela into the kedera. So we're not concerned for that. There would have been a concern that maybe when the mashgiach tmidi turns his back, the guy is going to throw a piece of nevela into his pot. Says the Gemara, we're not concerned. Okay, that's Gemara number one. Gemara number two, number four, it's a Mishnah later on in Avodah Zarah. Hamatar yeinoy shel oved kechavim. You have a guy who wants to go into the kosher wine business. He knows he can't make the wine himself. A guy touches the wine, it's awesome. Stam yeinim, yai nesach. So he hires a yid, mamash mashkiach, Mishnah talks about a mashkiach. He hires a yid to make the wine for him. Hamatar yeinoy shel oved kechavim. You have a yid who's in charge of making sure the wine is kosher. V'nois nebirshu, so the wine is made, it's in the barrels, they're not sealed, still fermenting, let's say, and he puts it into the guy's property. It's in the guy's yard. So you can see the wine when you pass by the street and you look in, you can see the wine. If it's a city that has yidden and goyim, and you can see it as you pass by, you can see into his yard, you can see the wine is there, it's mutter. If it's a city with the only goyim, in the fact in the middle of nowhere, so no yidden passing by, it's aser ad sheyeshiv u'misham. It's aser until you have a mashkiach sitting down and guarding the wine. The goy should not come to touch it. If ein hashomer tzarich liyos yoyeshiv u'mishamer, the shomer does not have to sit there the whole time and watch it. Afal pishu yoytzev v'nichnas mutter. Even though he's going out and coming back in, it's mutter. Someone told me it's very meduyik yoytze v'nichnas. Sometimes a person will say nichnas v'yoytze. Right? Nichnas v'yoytze means you go in, you go out. The yisoid is yoytze v'nichnas. Yisoid is when you walk out, you come back in. Not you go in and you walk out. The ikar is the coming back in afterwards. Either way, the Mishnah is telling us that you don't have to have a mashkiach tmidi by wine. Yai nesach. You don't have to have a mashkiach tmidi mefurish mishnah by wine. It's enough to have a yoytze v'nichnas. So what's the yoytze v'nichnas doing? He's creating a fear. The guy is afraid he's going to... And here, the Gemara before was talking about a case where the guy doesn't gain that much. If he throws treif into the yid's pot, whatever. Here, if the guy gets caught, he knows they're going to be machriz, that you can't drink his wine. And it's enough to have a yoytze v'nichnas. A yid coming and going, that's enough. So Tosis number 5 asks the stira, Vim Toimar, Maishna Mishari Surim Da'amu Dashari B'yotzev Nichnas. It sounds like in the morning of Yibezin of Eidazara, I need to have Mashkiach Tmidi there. It's just that when he turns his back, we're not concerned you're going to throw meat in there. But why would you have thought that? Maishna from anywhere else, where Yibezin of Nichnas is enough. Here it sounds like you have to have the Yid who's there all the time. The Mishnah and Daf Samach Aleph says, it's enough. The Yid comes in and goes out. It goes out and comes in. That which matter in general yoytzev nichnas, a very important qualification of where yoytzev nichnas works. That's if I catch the guy doing the wrong thing. He's nitfas kaganov. He's chapped like he's a thief. I'm going to bring him to Bezdin, or he's going to lose his parnasa. Here with a guy, if I catch him putting his spoon in my pot, he'll say, no, I was just trying to help you out. I saw your tavshil was getting cold. I wanted to stir it. Oh, I saw you didn't have enough meat. I threw it in. I mean, yoytze v'nichnas only works where the guy knows if the mashkiach walks in and sees him doing whatever he's doing, he turns red-faced. He's nitfas kaganov. If he's nitfas kaganov, then you don't have to have someone watching him the whole time. As long as someone could come in, the Gemara goes on to say, he has to come in at different times. It can't be at every day at 3 o'clock. Right, it has to be at different times of the day. So any point in time he knows someone can walk in, that's fine. Tosis number 6, top right corner, says that Pirish Ri, Shadi Basar Khusha Shaloi, Vishaka Basar Shmein. Another very important qualification where you need the Yotze V'nichnas. The concern here is the guy is going to take a shvacher meat, a cheaper type of meat that he has, put into the Yitz pot and take the more expensive meat into the guy's pot. He's going to be shoker basar chusha shaloi, take his lean meat, v'shoker basar shmeina, k'dei l'harviyach. The concern here, in those two stovetops, the guy is going to gain. He's going to get a nicer piece of meat. But just we're not concerned stamazoi. In most, unless he's a red flag, but in most cases, we're not concerned that the guy is going to stam try to be machshel yid. It only comes down to money. If he's going to gain money, even if the yid's going very far away, as long as there's no financial incentive for the guy, you can leave him with the kosher food. For Raya, I'll bring you a proof, says Tosfos. A Gemara Shpeter in Avodah Zarah, Daf Lamed Dalet, Gavi Ahi Arba, the Maraisa. There was a boat coming with, it was like a fish and brine dish, Delechai Shataru V'Schamra, where if you add wine, wine would be a substitute for whatever that brine was. There was a concern that the guy might add wine. So the boat came to Akka in Eretz Yisrael. I think it was Rav Abba there in the Gemara said, okay, now we have to have a Mashkiach on the boat. But from wherever it came from, until it got to Eretz Yisrael, there was no Jew in sight. So the Gemara says, why until now did you not require a Mashkiach for this wine, traveling by itself, for this Muryosa, traveling by itself? All of a sudden, you come to Eretz Yisrael, now you require a Mashkiach. Says Tosfos, "Lechai shataru v'schamra came into kista de marisa beluma pirish bezuza. One kista of marisa costs one zuz. The kista de chamra ba'ar belumi. Wine was more expensive. It cost four lumi. So he wouldn't do it. He's not going to gain. To add wine in Italy is foolish. He's going to lose money. But once he came to Eretz Yisrael, where wine was cheaper, then is the yitzhara for the guy to add the wine. So where there is no financial gain, you don't have to have any ashkacha." Tosfos says. The Gemaras go on in 7 and 8. I just brought two Gemaras where you have cases of Mirtas. How far do we take Mirtas? So number 7, do it outside. There was a Yid and a guy living in the same house. The Yid's on the second floor, the guy's on the first floor. They heard a commotion outside. Everyone ran outside to see the commotion. Then the Yid comes back to his house. There's one door to get into the house. The guy had gotten into the house and locked the door. The Yid banged on the door, let him in. And finally the guy let him in. The Yid had wine, non-mavosha wine, in his second story there. So are we concerned that when the guy was there, he touched the wine? So Gemara says, no, because the guy is going to think, just like I came back already, maybe my friend, my roommate also is back. Right? So there's a mirtus. The guy's not going to touch it because even though he seemed to have come back earlier than Rava, but in his mind, maybe Rava is also, maybe the yid is also there. The other Gemara, and number 8, is a yid and a guy are drinking wine together. It's not a joke. The yid hears, the yid has to go to shul. He runs to daven mincha ma'ariv, and he comes back, and his wine is there. The guy is sitting there with the open bottle of non-mavushal wine. And the lach is, the wine is mutter. Why? Because the guy thinks the yid could come back at any time. He's afraid. Again, the guy has to know that he can't touch the wine. The guy has to know that, right? And he knows if he touches it, the yid's going to be upset at him. If the yid catches him, he's going to be nitvas gaganov. He doesn't stand to lose money per se, but just the embarrassment of answering someone in the yid's wine. Therefore, the wine is kosher, because the guy thinks at any point in time, the yid can come back. That's the sugya of Mirtis. That the idea is, even if there's no yid around, even if there's no Jew around, still, the fact that the yid does come, can you hand these out, please? The fact that the yid can come at any time creates a fear in the guy. If the guy has that fear, there's no concern. Right? So these are our two models here. We have Kimli Begavei. We have the concept that I know this person, maybe I know the system, I know well, I know how it works, it doesn't change, the person has nemonis. We have the second idea of Mirtis, of instilling fear. So you have people who have no nemonis, but they stand to lose something, be it their pride, be it financial loss, if they get caught, says the Gemara, you can assume that they didn't do anything.
The guy has a pride of alcohol, he's still not going
to be... If he's Nitvas Kaganov, so you might say that this guy in the past has ruined his life, and so that a person like that, okay, the challenge in Mirtas, which is really, at the end of the day, how we go, is that you have to, there's no sif in Shulchan Aruch. In other words, it's the hash'ara of the mashkiach, it's the hash'ara of the yaitzev and nichnas, of the hashkacha, whether there's a mirtus in this place. There's no clear, you know, there's no line. It's not, you know, so that is a challenge. Okay, so now, the OU is very geschmack for a number of reasons. One reason is that their literature is unbelievable on kashrus. They have a document here, I got from Rabbi Gersten, that who's the recorder of halachic policy for the OU, which is, like it says, the basis for OU certification. How does the whole hashgacha work? So they start off by quoting the Shulchan Aruch as a shach, which does say that a yoytze v'nichnas means the guy's coming in and out. Like you're in your house, you go out to the backyard, you come back into the, let's say you have a goyt in the kitchen, You go outside for a minute, you come back in, check on the kids in the front, get them from the car. But the Yoytziv in Nichnas, this Lechat Chila, says the Shach in Kuf Yud Ches, is coming in and out all the time. But leaving for long periods of time could only be B'di'evet. That's what the Shach says. If you're out for, if you notice in the Mishnayos, it says Mutter. A lot of the Lashonis are B'di'evetic Lashonis. The Shach comes out, Yoytziv in Nichnas is Lechat Chila, when he's coming in and out all the time. If a person's leaving for a long period of time, even though he doesn't tell the guy how long he's leaving for, but there's a fact in the middle of nowhere, four times a year. So even though the OU says, Amali should come back the next day, right? The point is, they know that when after he came back the next day, is he going to come back the day after that? Let's say you have a factory, you're going four times a year, right? So if you go every 3 months, that's not Ashkacha, because they know, once you walk away, for the next 3 months, no one's coming in. Elamai, you're supposed to come, Amal, 2 weeks later, a month and a half later, you can go 6 months also, right? As long as the guy doesn't know when you're going to come. Then you have the Mirtus. But it's still long periods of time. So the Shach says if it's a long period of time, it's only B'di'evit. So the question was asked, how does our Hashgacha work? Is the whole Hashgacha B'di'evit for that reason? So if Shechter writes, in the Hebrew paragraph there, Hashela zois hi achi chashuva v'achi chamur mikol hashelas. This is the most chamur shayla. They point down the bottom, he was given a number of shilas. This is the most chamer shilah of all the shilas I was given. Al pi pshutoy, ein oifen hakshir metzleinim yusad asfar yoytziv nechaz b'chlal. Says of Shechter, it can't be that hashgacha is based on yoytziv nechaz. It can't be based on the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah and Daf Samach Aleph. It can't be. Because of the Shach. El al yusoyd ha'inyin dekimli begavei milsihi. It's based on the Igros Moshe. Shagram Feinstein kosev b'tshuva al zeh. The way Hashgacha works, at least in factory, says Rav Shechter, is that the Mashgiach is batuach beliboy, underlined. He has to have a idea that the system doesn't change. Without letting him know. There's a concept that Uman's not going to make himself look bad. Kloimar, Shah companies Lamisharim es Oifinas Yasim and Lamashikim, Bimhagim, Bibchinas Oilim Kiminaganoik. Mashkiach goes in and he's there for a few weeks and he sees where the system works in the factories and it doesn't change. The truth is, it depends on the factory. Certain factories, when I was in Australia, I was in the Nestle factory there. And we were telling them that there was one product they had that had Isser in it. We told them if you knock it down to less than Shishin, we could be machshir other products. If there's Isser in the product, even less than Shishim, we can't be machshir that. But as far as Kalim is concerned, right, if you have a product that's Isser, there's more than Shishim of the Isser in there, then we can't use anything made on that line unless you kashir. We told them, if you take this product and you drop the amount, or you get an alternative ingredient, right, then we can be machshir these other 15 products that's made on that equipment. It's not going to Isser the Kalim if it's bottle. So they said we can't do that because it takes us 6 months and a lot of paperwork. And it's so, some companies, the bigger they are, it's so rigid what they're doing that the system does not change. It cannot change. If you go there four times a year, you'll pick it up before it happens because it takes that long for it to change. That's not every factory. But that's what Shechter is saying, that Hashgacha works based on the system. We know the system works based on the Igros Moshe. It's a big chiddush because Rav Moshe is talking about Anashim Chalushim. For their brias, for their health, they need it, and he's not. It's only shas et chak.
But long did your father and your son.
No, and with the idea brura.
How long did it take to get that kimlay? Just knowing their.
So he says a couple of weeks. There's no clear answer. He writes a couple of weeks. There's no clear answer. That's why he underlines batuach believe, but it's the hashara of the mashgiach. I know the system doesn't change. I can tell you, for Nestle, at least back then in Melbourne, the system does not change. I saw how it works. It doesn't change. You know, you have to go a number of times. I was only there once, but you have to go a number of times in, you know, quick succession and see that it doesn't change. Yes, Rav Shechter writes, before you give the Hashgacha, you have to first give it a trial and make sure they're not changing anything. So if you look in the footnote 3, it's interesting. Rav Shechter also comments in connection with the above, if a company repeatedly was caught not registering new ingredients on the Schedule A, in every factory, in some factories that have kosher and non-kosher, the Hashgacha wants to have a list of all their ingredients, kosher and non-kosher. Schedule A refers to the kosher ingredients that they're certifying, the products, and Schedule B refers to the non-kosher ingredients. They want to make sure that nothing gets mixed up. You have a company who changes their schedule A without telling the hashgacha. But it's always kosher. In other words, they're not breaking any halacha, they're breaking a policy. They're not conforming to the policy, but they're not in breach of any halacha. So can you continue the hashgacha there? So you can time this still a mirasis. I mean, maybe they're still afraid to serve non-kosher when they know they're going to get in trouble. There's going to be a fine. There's a mirasis for switching with the non-kosher. But if it's kosher, there's no mirasis, but who cares really because it's all kosher. But if you go with the system works, and they're honest and people with integrity, you don't have that. So if Shechter writes, Ein laham shechas hechsher b'chai gavni. In Achnami, that's a chumrah, if you go with this, with Kimli Begavei, is that if you see that they're not honest in anything, if they're cheating the health, whatever it is, company, so then in Achnami, then you can't continue Hashgacha. Any breach in any integrity is going to be a problem, according to Rav Shechter. Rav Belsky writes very sharply, Re'isi mashkosi v'yididi harav agoyin of Tzishchechter, Alzev v'shomi t'chila doch mashsamchal mashkichim mi toriz yotze v'nichlas, kein zemoyl, he calls the shach, he goes on to Kimli Begavei. Right, so if you look at the second to last line of that paragraph from Rav Belsky, hinei zesh shonim rabois, it's been many years, shekvar hoidati es is vi'os ritzoini b'chol hanal. I am not happy with this approach to Hashgacha. Loi b'tchilosoi v'loi b'soifoi. If you often see the tshuvas between Rav Belsky and Rav Shechter, they're often quite sharp with each other, obviously the Shem Shemayim. No shaykhis, Rav Belsky goes on to say that you have two situations. Next paragraph he discusses that shach that says it's b'di'evid, and he points out it's referring to a case where the guy has nothing to really lose by doing something wrong. There's nothing to lose. Talking about the two stovetops, right? If you catch the guy, he loses his pride. He's not going to lose anything financially. In the next paragraph, where he quotes the Mishnah on Daf Samach Aleph, says there, the guy has everything to lose. The guy hired a yid to manufacture wine from, that's the guy's parnasa. If the guy is going to mess around there, it's a much bigger mirsis. There he's going to lose his parnasa. Says Rav Belsky, in such a situation, in such a case, then Yotzev Nichas is Lachatchila. It's only b'di'eved where the guy doesn't stand to lose that much. Where he's going to lose his parnasa, so then Yotzev Nichas is Lachatchila. Third paragraph on page 2. Mashadimi didi le'inyin kimli b'vas Rav Chisda, the Pisco shel Rav Moshe Feinstein, and in his le'klal. No shaychus. The hasen bein kimli derava mar be'ishtoi. Talking about his wife. The kimli b'gavoy Yosef le'koyal shum adam acher. Not talking about anyone else. The Hassan Biksubis is the af of Papa like Kimla Bitlarava, and the Dafka Bas of Chisda, Umaran Ramosha, Loy Hishvel Lazer, Rak Hahurim, the Bneim Hahuvim, the Yidum of the Rosh Koyal said, believe him, Shemitoch Avasim is a natural love from a child to a parent. Loy Kalkuloisam, he's not going to be Makal, they're not going to be Makal the parents. Have a Chas Visholim, Lahalois Aldas, even to think, says Rebelsky. Sha'anu kimlan b'chol goy v'choshed. So yitzaru yisonu, a goy is not going to cause us tzar. Lo yachlifu ma shehivtichu lanu. They're not going to, they promised us, they're not going to change the word. Kein lehem shum ava lanu, rak l'mamoynum. All they care about is their money. Vilti zepiem diber shav, v'minam yim shoker. V'yachlif b'chol yom eseres moynin. Rak mishum pachtam v'yirosam, yizaru shol hafsid emunam, etzleinu v'zei yadur mefursam. So what shaykh is the Igros Moshe?
What if it's a Jewish company?
Afilu hachi. I mean, if it's still not a parent and a child. If it's the child of the Mashkiach, then you're going to tie his nageved up. But if it's the child of the Mashkiach, then maybe you have more of a tzad. Umatzasi zavter belsi litzoyk b'shar basrabim kimash lepamim. He says that let's say it outside. There's his srashas of the Mashgichim. They come like clockwork. They come mamish like clockwork. He said we lose the entire thing. Zavter belsi hashgach is based on Yosef Nichnas. It's based on Mirtus. If you go every 3 months on that day, you lose the entire hashgacha. On that place. There was one place in Melbourne where I used to keep a log of where I went and when I went. I noticed the past 7 weeks, I've never been there on a Wednesday. Just punked, I never went on a Wednesday. I was in the office, Kosher Australia, and I said, you know what, 7 weeks, never on a Wednesday, every other day except for Wednesday. I said, you think they notice? Okay, whatever. He said, try to go on a Wednesday, but I don't think they notice. I walked in the next week on a Wednesday. The guy says to me, hey, you never come on a Wednesday. So they know. So Rav Belsky complains that, I mean, sometimes it's very inconvenient. You have to go to Virginia, you have to go to the middle of nowhere, and maybe on a Shabbos they say, sleep in a hotel nearby, that you will pay for your lodging. Stay there, no minion, what can you do? It's kashrus. And going on, walking to the factory on the Shabbos, they know, 3 day Yom Tov, the goyim know, they know Shabbos. The mashgiach never comes on Shabbos. They have to come on the Shabbos as well.
In Asia, what kashrut organizations do is that they prearrange several weeks before the visits with the factory.
We're going to get to that. You're asking, where's the Yotzei V'Nichnas? I sent that child into Rav Gerstein. I was afraid that question would be asked. I also wanted to know myself. And I sent the question to Rav Gerstein. I'm going to share with you what he wrote me back in a second. So, yeah, there's no mirsas. It's like, there's no mirsas if they know you're coming in 2 weeks' time. Okay, Kitzer, that's what Rav Belsky says. Rav Shechter responds in the next page. And Rav Shechter writes, Kavanasi behavi midin kimli begavei. Just to prove, Shechter writes, I'm proving the concept that even though a person has no ne'amanus, he makes a nice chiluk, even though a person has no ne'amanus, there are other forms that I can rely on them. I mean, that we see from the Gemara and Ksubas, that we see from Moshe Feinstein, that you can know what's going on without coming on to the parsha of ne'amanus of two edim. Mikol makom im yesh lo birur al pi eze ruba de lesa kaman, efshli lismay chal oysa umdina. Ka'aras ha-rashash, in the Gemara Baba Basra, the Moshe and Aaron, akapon yesh biyadein biru mikoyach ruba de lesa kaman, she'miskein, k'moy she'omru, el she'ein moitzin mamon al pi ruba. For Khan, that it's not mamonous, you can rely on the roiv. In the next paragraph, Rav Shechter writes like this. He says, that which Rebelsky said, l'gabi kol nachri chashid, ha-shepim div rashav chulu, bevade nechoyin ma'dvarm. Rebelsky is correct. And Rav Moshe Rak Amar Dvar b'mikrim ma'oid mitzum tzomim, v'al zeh davke b'mikri, listen to this, sh'onu oysim umdina demuchach api dvarav, v'api ne'emanu, so shel adam, ha-bilti ne'eman. Zogt Rav Shechter as well. He says that Rav Moshe is talking about, as the Gemara also in Ksubis, about a person who has no ne'emanus. As there's a chazaka that they're going to lie. We're coming against the chazaka where there's no ne'emanus. And that, says Rav Moshe, you have to have this very stark kimli begavei. Zogt aval kan ha'umdina demuchach nitzeres api ha-system. Shem mashgiach batuach b'system hazeh she'einenu oymid li'ishtanus yeshismach al ha-roiv ha-hu. If he sees that I've been there 20 times, it hasn't changed, that creates a ruba de lesa kaman that it's not going to change. There's no chazaka that it's going to change. The system is starting now with the hashgacha. It's a new system. It's not going against the chazaka. If I see that it hasn't changed, that creates a ruba de lesa kaman. I could run that roiv. The yishlahati l'echol me'lachol misupakim ayapi ne'amonis eidechad ayapi umdina the ruba. If it's not going against the chazaka, so then it's not a problem. So that's what Rav Shechter writes. The Maisa, I think most Hashgachas are relying on Yotzei V'Nichnas. Right? We have this Machloikus of Shechter and Rebelsky. Is Kashrus based on the system works, that has Chumras and Kulas, or is it based on Mirtas and Yotzei V'Nichnas? According to Rav Shechter, you don't have to come at different times necessarily. If you see the system works, you have your Ruba de Lesa come on until you lose it. You have it. According to Rebelsky, you have to always be changing up the schedule. So the Maisa, we all know that in certain countries, they're pathological liars. The mamish, you tell them right now, it's midnight? Yeah, it's midnight. They'll say whatever you want to hear. There are many, many factories, cheap labor, there's many, many factories there, and a lot of the food we eat comes from these countries. So the system works is hard to say, and Mirtas is hard to say, for sure not there. So how does it work? So that's the question I sent in to Rav Gerstein. He said that in places like China, the certified ingredients are usually group one. In other words, there are certain ingredients that we know, the experts know, who have experience, that there's never any concern for non-kosher. Like, for example, you can buy extra virgin olive oil with no hashgacha. If you see hashgacha on it, it's the company's economic decision, because they know you're going to go for it with the hashgacha on it. But there's absolutely no reason to have hashgacha on extra virgin olive oil, even though there's fraud in the industry with coloring, but there's never been any kashrus issues. All the fraud is still kosher. So it's kosher or fraud. So therefore, we see that's not based on mirtas. That's based on this no chash. There's absolutely no chash. Says Rav Gerstein, the only things that the OU certifies from China are going to be those things that are group one or close to it, where we see the system works. In other words, they're using Rav Shechter for that. Normally, we're Yotzei V'Nichnas. If we're not going to have the Yotzei, the mirtas, the Yotzei V'Nichnas, it's going to be based on the system works. So group one, sugar, flour, salt, these things, you don't really require hashgacha. You don't need hashgacha on them. Water also, if it's just pure water.
That's right. You don't need all the bottles and everything.
No. If they're adding things, you always have to ask. You have to ask a shayla. But you should never assume it's okay. You should always ask. But there are a number of things that do not require hashgacha, because People have whiskey, right, in Scotland. In Scotland, whiskey, the Scotch, does not require hashgacha. Why? Because they see the system. That's how the system works. There's no chash. It's like the Gemara on Daf Lamed Beis and Avodah Zarah, where the boat came with the Murias from Italy. There's absolutely no, there was no Yid anywhere there until it came to Eretz Yisrael. And the Maroim were eating this. Aye, there's no Yid around. No, because they know there's no chash. Where there's no chash, it's called group one, they'll give hashgacha to it. Where if it's more complicated, they will not give hashgacha. So this is the most challenging part, and it's the most basic part of hashgacha, is that the mashgiach, or the rabbinical coordinators in charge of the restaurant, or the factory, has to figure out, is there a mirasis? And when things happen, you have to know the owners, you have to know the workers, and you have to be confident that there is a fear that if a guy gets caught, he's in trouble. I had a mice in Melbourne where it's geferlich. One of the owners, I'm not saying where he came, which country he came from, but one of the owners, you can think about it yourself, one of the owners was caught, he was speeding, and he got caught by the police, and he pulled over to the side, he jumped into the passenger seat. This is all on video, the cops had it on video. And he was saying that, no, I wasn't driving. And he's on the phone talking to his friend in Hebrew. You got to come help me. The cops called me. I was driving in Hebrew. And they have it translated on the bottom into English. this guy owned the restaurant. So I said, is the Mirsa still there?
No.
Like, if he's not afraid of the police.
He's afraid of you.
So then, you know, so that's a shayla. That's a chamardik a shayla. But that's what it's based on. Hashgacha is based on Mirtas or on Kimna B'Gavei. That's how it works. We'll take a few questions.
Like, you see a restaurant owner paying an employee out of the register. So that's a disregard for the law as well.
So you have to, again, you have to know, it's illegal and you shouldn't do it, right? But you have to know if that's a normal zach. I mean, not everything, if a person's not makban on shatnes, you can still trust his kashrus, right? So does that mean, if everyone does that, if that's the standard thing, I'm not saying it is, but if that is a standard thing, lav davka zaharei. If you see a mashgiach, speak loshon hara. So that, okay, nebuch, we're not also makban, but I mean, try your best. But not everything a person does that's wrong is going to make him no longer have nemanus.
How about that point you mentioned that? Factories in the Midwest that you go on once every 3 months, even if you stay one day and surprise them another day, they know you're not going to be there for 2 months. You're not there for three weeks, but you could.
After you
stop coming for, you come for a week, and then another week you didn't come.
It's a good question.
You're not coming back.
I mean, if you come 7 days in a row, they know you're not coming the rest of your life, right?
Exactly. That's not group one, no matter what.
Right, yeah, so that's a good question. I guess in their minds, there's a tzad. There is a tzad he might come. I see he comes erratically. There is a tzad that he comes. But you're right. Eventually, he's never come 4 times in a row. You know, he's never.
Or if he came 4, you didn't come.
But Lamaisa also, if you've ever been to these factories, right? You walk in there, and the whole room is like 20 times the size of this room. Ceiling very high. Pipes going everywhere. I mean, even going there, what is that? You can't tell what's going in, what's going out. You have no shaykh, no clue. So what we had over there is we had access to the computer systems. That's much more telling than walking in. It's a mindset that some hashgachas haven't yet got to realize that, especially in a factory, the actual visit is not really worth that much unless you're mamish a bucky in food science and you know with pipes that what's going. Really, having access to the computers, you could check what's going on, is much more valuable. There was a mice in Australia where a kid ate something and he had an allergic reaction. Because it was supposed to be dairy-free. It wasn't kosher. It was a guy. It was dairy-free. It wasn't dairy-free. Within an hour, they were knocking on the door of the company. What happened to your product? There was dairy in your product. And they were able to produce to the police a piece of paper that said where this product was made, which ingredients, when it came into the factory, what was used. And they found out one of the suppliers made a mistake. In other words, the companies are very nervous about these lawsuits. You bring them in a package or whatever it is, they can tell you exactly which ingredients from which deliveries came, from which companies. So if you have access to that, so you have the mirror system still.
Shouldn't the workers have to see you though? So they're like actual
workers. Yeah.
They don't know about the computers.
No, but they can't. You don't have a guy putting something in like this. That's not how it works. Everything is done on a mass level with machines, and as long as those chaver know, then you're okay.
Why do you
have
access to computers?
No, we have access in the office. You still want to show your face, but that's less chashiv. Really, showing them that you're in the computers, send an email, by the way, just check your system, thank you very much. That's yeah.
What's the worst consequence that could happen?
Just drop the hashgach. If they do something?
No, but then they'll just hire mashgiach to meet you, so it's not really a terrible consequence. And they wouldn't close the restaurant.
No, they would. If there was a serious breach, I mean, I know what it's like this. Any hashgacha, no matter the most chashuv hashgacha is not really, if someone's trying to cheat the system and like he's going in at 3 o'clock in the morning, the second day of a 3 day yom tiv, right? So no hashgacha is set to catch that in the first shot. But if you see, if you find a breach that's indicative, this guy mamish doesn't care and he's trying to cheat the system, so you can't certify that place. You drop the hashgacha in a second. Yeah, I mean, unless you feel the mashgiach is going to add that mashgiach is not there at 2 o'clock in the morning.
So he's not afraid really to get caught, because if he gets caught, there's not a mashgiach tamidi.
First of all, it's 80 grand a year. It's not pashut for the mashgiach tamidi. Secondly, the hashgacha might drop him in ganzen. They might drop him completely. Depends what the breach is. Yeah. It can help. It's never going to be a mashgiach, but it could help. It could definitely add to it.
Why not?
Because you could always cheat cameras, not foolproof. You can't get every angle. You have to have a presence there. You have to have a presence. It's a slippery slope to start with cameras, but they are very helpful. Yeah.
With Moshe's tshuva, he didn't switch the case. He didn't pass it based on what Bashi is just saying. He made somebody else take a shvuah.
You can't do that unless you have Adam.
Okay, but still, like, he still required the shvuah from the other side. So, you know, he didn't rule just based on the...
Switching a shvuah, you cannot switch a shvuah unless you have two Adam. It's also for a dying to do that. So he must have felt she had the mile of two Adam. I have to run. I'll get to that question. So there are certain places that we have an owner as a mashgiach. In Simon Kuf Yud Tes and Yeredeah, the Ramah Paskins, that if you have a Yid who's Muchzok Bekashrus, if he's Muchzok Bekashrus, we say Eid Echa Neman Beisurin, even if he stands to lose money. An Eruch Yid, the Shulchan Aruch says, would rather lose money than be Machshel Yid Nisurin. The Aruch Shulchan says, what is Muchzok Bekashrus? He davens 3 times a day, he washes it till he's a dime before he eats bread. He's a Yid, he keeps Torah mitzvahs, doesn't have to be a Kohel Yung Aman. And a Yid who's Shomer Torah mitzvahs is considered Muchzok Bekashrus. That being said, the OU says, the bigger Hashgachas, where it's possible to always be Mechayev a Mashgiach and not have the honor as a Mashgiach, they say we've had certain instances where we've seen the guy cheating, right? And therefore, they're more wary of it and they don't allow it. But they say, they write in their document, that is 100% mutter me'ikar adin based on the Shulchan Aruch and Kuf Yud Tes, and out of town vadin, they have to shots up for themselves if they want to go to the higher level or not. I mean, definitely encouraging people to go to a higher level, but we have to be careful how we talk, and to say that it's not al pi din as a general klal is 100% not true. If one wants to be machmir and say, I only want to go to a restaurant that has a mashkiach, I hear you 100%, I think it's a great idea. It's very nice chumrah, and you're entitled to know, I think, which places have the owners as mashgichim, and you can feel free to stay away from those, that's fine. But to say, one rabbi showed me in a sefer, one of the svarim, I can't think of a sefer, that a certain rav says it's no good mikra din. I said, who is this person? Is he any shakas lakash? Is he is he a mechaber sefer? That's a chashuv adarga, but is he really a talmud chacham? I don't know. And you can't just come with a sefer. So Shulchan Aruch says it's fine. So that's what we rely on in certain cases, and with certain people. You know, certain establishments are easier than other establishments. And we rely on that, but you're within your rights to be machmir and not eat them. Say this again.
Once you're being soimich on this halacha,
on top of him we have a yoytze v'nichnas. On top of him there's a yoytze v'nichnas, and there's cameras. So that's what we're adding. I mean, some hashgachas don't require a mashgiach anyway in milk place. You have yoytze v'nichnas. The yoytze v'nichnas makes the mirasis, meaning chabdei v'chashteyu. Avada, we're not soimich on him. In all hashgach, we're never soimich with the mashgiach, we always go in. So we have a yoytze v'nichnas with one of us, but he's there to watch vegetables, he's there to be mafresh challah. Okay, shkoyach.
I didn't want to push through the water.